From the penpals.buzz corporate headquarters in Northern California, right next to the abandoned beauty salon, it's the Prison Pen Pal Podcast.
It is about time.
Hear stories from real inmates who want to write to you. From free world people who enjoy writing prisoners. And for just about anyone involved in the world of prison pen pals. On today's episode.
We had 27 kids together.
27 with one woman?
The oldest three was triplets, two boys and one girl. And then it was four sets and six couplets.
Now, here's your host of the Prison Pen Pal Podcast. Big Steve.
Hang on. I'm here. Barely making it into the studio today. That's me, Big Steve, and it is the Prison Pen Pal Podcast. Daisy is on her way in. I see her. Hey! I'm waving through the window. She's making her coffee right now. We're going to be chatting with Danny Teron Roney, who has an incredible story to tell. Incredible. That's all I'm going to say for now. We'll hear the story straight from his mouth here in just a few seconds, but I have a belief that women get less privileges, fewer privileges than men do. We send, you know, the same flyer out to 20 facilities in the same state, and the women's facilities seem to reject our flyer. The men are allowed to have it. When we send messages on Securus talking about pen pals, the men usually get the messages, the women don't. So if you're in one of these states, you have these experiences, or maybe not. Maybe you think we get more stuff than the guys. Just call us and share your opinion at 888-2-PEN-PAL. That's 888-273-6725 or email podcast@penpals.buzz. All right, Danny Roney.
Thank you. Hello.
Tell us what's going on with you, man.
My birth name is Danny Teron Roney. I changed my name back in 1994 to Khalid Abdul Al-Mumin based on religious beliefs. But in 95, I enlisted in the United States military through Fort Jackson Army Base in Columbia, South Carolina. That's when I enlisted in the military. But I want to go further back. I was born in Norristown, Pennsylvania. One mom, never knew my dad. My mom was abusive, so I had to run away when I was 5 years old because if I didn't, she would have killed me. I found out that I was came into this world with a mission to fix this world when I grow up as a prophet. But many people didn't know I was going to come in this world as a prophet. But I was told by an angel, Gabriel, that I was going to be a prophet in this world.
When did you find that out?
The first time I found it out, I was a little kid, but I found out from the devil himself. I was 4 years old. At the time, my mama was in prison for killing a guy. She had stabbed a guy 54 times in his sleep. She said every day her makeup was two black eyes, she told me when I was a kid. Mm. So she killed him. So I was in the playpen one day, and the devil came and was talking junk to me. And you know how little kids are. You know, they talk junk back. Yeah. And I was talking junk to the devil, and the devil slapped, just reeled off and slapped the mess out of me, and I was crying. And my aunt and her daughter was inside the kitchen. I was in the living room in the apartment complex in Columbia, South Carolina.
You were around five at this time, or is this after?
Four years old.
Okay. Four. Wow, that's got to be traumatic.
I was 4 years old.
I actually used to think that Mr. Rogers, he had this make-believe in King Friday from Mr. Rogers used to come to my window. Scared the crap out of me. I was like two or three. But I can't even imagine if the devil were there.
He ended up introducing himself to me and my family that day. He told my aunt that she going to have to teach me some Islam and Christianity and all the different religions, because when I grow up, I'm going to have to go against the devil in this world and fight against him. Mm. And so that's the beginning of my aunt mission. She started teaching me Christianity, because that was her religion. She didn't know much about Islam or nothing like that. But the devil explained to her that the Bible had been tampered with, and that she needed to get a Quran and read the Quran.
This call is from a federal prison.
And teach me the Quran and stuff. So when she finally got a Quran, she didn't understand it that well. And She just taught me, she just went on ahead and taught me her Christian ways and stuff. But when I went up north, like the day I turned 5 years old, August 31st, 1981, my mother must have already got out of jail, out of prison, came down south and got me from my aunt's house and took me back up north to live with her in Norristown, Pennsylvania. So when I went up north, my mama was real abusive, real abusive. She was illiterate, and she didn't know how to take care of kids. She had another child, which was my brother, my little brother, who was living in the house. But she was so abusive, I kept hearing her friends say, if that boy was old enough, he'd run away from home and never come back. Because her friends used to be like, she always fucking that boy up. She beating that boy like he a grown man.
Yeah.
So I was really, really abused. So I kept running around. I kept running away, and I would live in this old abandoned building behind where we stayed, an old steel mill. She had taught me survival techniques a little bit because she had me washing dishes, cleaning clothes in the tub with a plunger, bringing clothes out, hanging them up on the line outside in the back. I'm 5 years old, and I'm doing grown people work. And if I didn't do it right, I'd get beat real bad with stinging cords, drop cords, rosebud switches. She used to mess me up. She didn't have no understanding. She was really illiterate. So I ran away and ended up living with some gang members up the street called Crips up in Norristown, Pennsylvania. And I went on a ride with them. They was robbing banks, and they would take me everywhere they go, make sure nothing happened to me. They loved me so much. But they started teaching me how to use a gun. Now, let me tell you, in 1995, Bill Clinton gave me a pardon for all the criminal activity I did. He gave me and everybody associated with me a full pardon. He just wanted to know the full truth of everything that I did in my life. And once I remember, if I didn't remember at the time, he told me to let him know so they could make the movie out of my life. But they made a movie, but it wasn't complete to the fullest, like I thought it should be complete now that I think of it today. The military used to sell a movie back in the days.
When, sorry to interrupt you. So should we call you, would you prefer to be called, is it Khalid or should we call you Danny here as we're talking to you?
You can call me Danny. I don't want to mess up anything.
Okay.
You can call me Danny.
Just so if people do want to write to you from the Pen Pal site, they're getting the name that'll actually get delivered to you would be good. But I wanted to just interrupt because I wondered, what age were you when you ran away with the Crips and you were learning how to use guns? And then what age when you got that pardon?
I was 5 years old. I was 5 years old. All I did was my mama left me at the house one day with her and her boyfriend, and she took my brother somewhere with her, left the house. They left me in the corner, standing up in the corner, with one leg up, my head facing the ceiling, and my hands behind my back. And I had to stay in that position. If I dropped my leg, I'd get beat. But being that she wasn't home, I would let my leg down to the floor, one of my legs, the other leg down to the floor. So I just packed up some stuff, some food and stuff, in a little bag and threw it out the window and climbed out the window to the front porch and left their house and ended up going to an abandoned building to stay for a few days. Then I went and stayed with the Crips. They ended up taking me in because they used to see me every day going by their house, going to the bus stop with blood dried up on my face and head from when my mama was messing me up real bad, beat me. She would abuse me real bad. So they ended up taking me in. I told them I'd take their jump in if long as they don't break none of my bones. Because if my mama beat me, I could withstand my mama beatings long as she ain't breaking my bones and y'all ain't breaking my bones. I could take y'all jump in so I could have a place to stay. But they wasn't going to let me stay with them if I wasn't a part of their crew. So they beat me up like a little. They ain't beat me like a grown man, But they just kick my little butt to let me know that's how they do it, you know, to jump me in, period. And they let me stay with them. And so they trained me how the Viet Cong trained their kids to fight against the American soldiers, but I was fighting against the rival gangs throughout Philadelphia and Norristown. And I would go in, you wouldn't expect the kid to come and kill you and the queen, the OG and the queen.
Right.
I would be the kid to come in and kill the OG and his queen and his lieutenants, completely scar that gang from thriving anymore. Once I get the OG and the queen, I get the two heads out and some of the lieutenants.
I want to, before we go too much further, I just want to let everyone know how to get in touch with you. If they want to learn more about your story, it's Danny Terron, Terron-Roney, R-O-N-E-Y, 16494-171. You're at the Federal Medical Center, which is P.O. Box 1600, Butner, North Carolina, 27509, or they can also message you on CoreLinks once they get the invitation from you. Go to penpals.buzz and just search for Danny, and you can read his full profile and see some photos in the profile. I mean, you mentioned this thing that you've been pardoned by multiple presidents, and you were actually,
Yes. You
were released from prison, I think it said nine times.
Several times, numerous, over 30 times, be real.
Over 30 times
you were... literally over 30. It was literally, they got to the point where they got tired of, I was considered supposed to have been their best guy that they ever had in the military. And they was like, well, if he the best guy, how is he letting these people do this stuff to him like this and keep getting them back in prison? But I didn't know it was a catch to it all. It was the guy, Lloyd J. Austin III, who was the Secretary of Defense, the black guy.
Mm-hmm.
He the one that kept sending me back to prison. Then when he get back to the Pentagon, he would tell them that I just disappeared out of his custody. He don't know where I went to. I just disappeared. And they will believe him.
It says you were the first person to become a 4-star general. So, I mean, you were high up there.
I was the first person to become a 4-star general over Delta Special Forces.
Right, yeah, no, that's what it says.
Delta. That's the highest branch of Special Forces.
Wow.
Before me, it was nobody. The second person to become a 4-star general was Lloyd J. Austin III. That black guy that left office before Hegseth.
How long would you be out when they'd let you out? How long would it be until what it says in your profile, you'd get kidnapped and then you'd wake up back in a cell?
Sometimes it'd be 2 or 3 days. Sometimes a few times it'd been maybe a week or so, but it wasn't long at all. Majority of the time it was like a day. The same day I end up right back in there, or the next day, or 2 days later. It wouldn't take long. And I realized that I was going against the guy, Lloyd J. Austin III, and the devil himself.
Mm.
So Lloyd was working with the devil against me. Lloyd is not even a human being. He's not even from this planet. I swear to God. He's not even... If they did a check of his body, his genitals, his private part, he don't have what we have as men. He has something, an alien thing down there. What I wanted to also say to y'all is, over the years, I knew I was going to have a big job as a prophet. A lot of my baby mamas, I told them that I was a prophet and I was going to need their help in the future.
Yeah.
And when I need their help, I need them to come and assist me. And I gave them a lot of money. I gave all of some of them already had money, but I gave them money to keep them up and help them out a little bit more than what they already had.
Yeah, some of them, because, so we're not just talking like, you're not just talking like a few baby mamas or whatever. You actually say you've had thousands of children by women around the world.
Yes.
And these baby mamas, we're not talking about like Angela who works at the liquor store down the street or what. We're talking Britney Spears, Madonna, Lady Gaga.
Some of them was girls from out the neighborhood that worked at the liquor store and stuff. Don't get me wrong from that too now.
Okay.
Because I was all in my neighborhoods too. But outside the neighborhoods, when I would go to meet famous people, it would be like Mariah Carey, Mary J. Blige, Janet Jackson. And I had been seen in the public back in the days with these girls, these women.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I've been in the media with them where they had seen me caught with a young man in the public and stuff. But that was so long ago, I used to have a mouth full of gold teeth with a big diamond on the center of each tooth around the top and bottom. That's mm-hmm. how my military picture is. I was in the XXL magazine in one of the issues in 2005 XXL magazine, the XXL.
Yeah.
In one of the issues of the 12 months, I was in my military uniform on the front cover of the issue of the Urban magazine because I had made two albums under Too Short, the rapper producer in Atlanta, Georgia, back in 95. One came out in 95, one came out in 90, one came out in 96, one came out in 97, I believe. And both of them went platinum. And he did a little thing. He was doing a little thing trying to hope that I remember who I am and my past. Because while I was in prison, many people didn't know that I was being poisoned to keep me from remembering who I am. That I was in the military or that I was the first person to finish all 98 degrees of Freemasonry. I was the first black person born and raised in this country to finish all 98 degrees of Freemasonry. Once I finished the ancient Egyptian rite of Memphis, they gave me as a present all the side degrees to the female degrees. But that was something else that I did that was in the past, and it was under my name, Khalid Abdul Al-Mumin. Because back in 95, 96, I was using my legal name on the street, but the courts don't like using my name because they can't pronounce it, so they use Danny Roney. So I just go along with it for the time being.
Easier to pronounce, that's for sure. So these baby mamas, I mean, you have a list on your penpals.buzz profile, anyone that wants to look up Danny Roney. And I mean, if you just glance at the list, I'm seeing Fantasia, I'm seeing Madonna, I'm seeing both Kim and Khloe Kardashian. How did this happen? I mean, that's a lot of baby mamas, a lot of time.
A lot of them took liking in me. I used to have a mouth full of gold with a big diamond on the center of each tooth.
Yeah.
I was young and I was a little handsome, little dark skinned little man. I was handsome when I was young. Them pictures that you're looking at of me now, I'm more mature. I'm older now. I got a beard now. I didn't have no beard back in the days. I couldn't even grow a beard back in the day for years.
But you still look good, man. I'm looking at these pictures. I think the beard is good on you, man.
Thank you.
It gives me like a James Harden vibe.
If you can get TMZ live to check, because I know they always have some of them girls on their list that they're friends with or they can check with on the TV to see if I was lying or anything and call them girls up live on TV and ask them. And then them girls will tell them, yeah, he's telling the truth. That's my baby daddy. Yeah. And they be like, well, how you got both of y'all? I don't know, but he's my baby daddy. What's wrong with him? He's like, well, he say he need y'all help. He need a lawyer because he don't have access to his money right now. I'm married, but my wife don't do nothing for me. She, the one that got power of attorney over my bank accounts, uh-huh. she last that I knew, we had 27 kids together.
27 with one woman?
She had a set of, the oldest three was triplets, two boys and one girl, and then it was four sets of sex couplets.
Oh.
Three boys and three girls, three boys, three girls, three boys, three girls, three boys and three girls.
Oh, my God. That's so much for John and Kate plus eight. This is going to take over reality TV now. That's incredible.
Octomom, too.
Octomom, yeah.
So let me ask you a question, if I can. So growing up, you know, obviously now they have you there in the civil commitment for mental health. So growing up, or like all those times that you got arrested, did they ever like evaluate you, or were you ever at some point taking like medication, or did they give you like a diagnosis, or how did it go about, you know, them pretty much committing you there for your mental health?
When they wanted to throw me out the way, all them years they was poisoning me in prison, they had me in mental health to make it like I was crazy and stuff, you know, to keep me out the way. But nobody think nothing. They'd think like, oh, he done went crazy or something, you know what I'm saying? But the whole time, I was straight. And now they simply committed me. They got me on a civil commitment telling me I violated probation.
What's the civil commitment there? What is that for? Why do they do that?
For the mental health probation thing that they had me on. All I needed was somebody to help me.
Right. Do a lot of people seem to think that? Do people that are there housed with you in the prison, do they believe what you're telling them? Or?
Yeah, a lot of them believe what I be telling them. I'm locked up right now for a threatening letter. For a threatening letter that I wrote to a lawyer a long time ago, back in 2007.
I don't know. They're saying you robbed like a dollar store or something. I don't know.
They didn't charge me with robbing that store. It was my store. I owned that Dollar General, that franchise of the Dollar General store. Yeah. That's why they couldn't charge me with the robbery. They charged me with shooting a gun inside the store.
Danny Teron Roney, it's been great having you on the podcast. Thanks for calling in and joining us. If you have heard Danny's story and you want to learn more about him or about what's going on in his world, Danny Teron Roney, number 16494-171. He's at the Federal Medical Center, P.O. Box 1600, Butner, North Carolina, 27509. Or just go to penpals.buzz in the search box up at the top. Search for Danny Roney. It's R-O-N-E-Y. And you can see his pictures, read more of his story, and find different ways to get in touch with him. You can even send him a message for free. My favorite four-letter word, free, right on the penpals.buzz website. Just kind of at the bottom of his profile, it'll say, send this inmate your first message for free. And it's that easy. We'll make sure he gets the message. Prison Pen Pal Podcast. Man, it's been great having everybody with us again. If you are a woman who's incarcerated, or you have been incarcerated as a female, or you know a female who's currently locked up, we want to hear your thoughts on whether or not you get the same treatment that the men do. Podcast at penpals.buzz or 888-273-6725. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
All right, listen up, everybody.
It's lockdown time for Big Steve.
Let's go!
But he'll be back soon on another episode of the Prison Pen Pal Podcast. You want to get in touch? Email the podcast at penpals.buzz.
If you'd like to make a call,
call 888-273-6725. Or write to P.O. Box 456, Anderson, California, 96007.